So we're grateful for that. And happy Mother's Day, if somebody hasn't told you that. Yeah, okay, all right, so we got that out of the way. So I want to keep that in mind. Thank you, ladies. Now, say something. Well, like the preacher says, before I preach, I want to say something. It's like, you know, like I don't have anything important after I say this. But on Mother's Day, people say, why do you do all those things that make me feel guilty for all the things I don't do? Okay, well, the understanding is this is kind of, you know, going through Proverbs and going through all the different things. It's like, okay, if you were taking a mother, okay, we'll say here's this list of 100 things or 1,000 things. Now, the woman who is going to have all 1,000 of them doesn't exist. Or even all 100 of them doesn't exist, okay? So don't get on a guilt trip. You're only looking for one or two, all right? So as we go through this, I got one of those, you know, you can leave understanding God has blessed you. All right, so don't go on a guilt trip. But I don't think you will. I don't mean to do that. But we're looking at a legacy of faith, honoring the heart of a godly mother. Honoring the heart of a godly mother. Now, we begin by talking about the goal of our message today is to honor and inspire both women and the entire congregation. So men, you can't take a back seat and say it's not for me today, it's just for them ladies, you know. You know, like the guy used to take, he's not talking to me about that, that belongs to somebody else. He keeps passing it back, and the back row gets everything. Right, Glenda? Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure you saw all that coming. So Mother's Day is more than a sentimental holiday. It is a sacred moment to honor the role of women, especially mothers, in shaping faith and character and the future. So we see how that faith has, if you think about for yourself, who shaped your faith? Who put things in place for you? I remember my mom and my grandmother. My grandmother was a speaker, preacher. I never heard her speak, but I heard about her. So she was quite the evangelist at the time. That was back at kind of the beginning of Pentecost, and she was quite the orator. And she had what was known as a word of knowledge, that she could know things that God would basically impress her upon her heart about what was going on in people's lives and difficulties and so on. And she could do all of that and, you know, would know all that. And so you didn't want to be doing something wrong when my grandmother was preaching, because she would call you out. We don't do that anymore because we lose people. But back then, they didn't care. So they just were, she was just that type of individual. And they would talk about my uncles, that she would beat them every Saturday whether they needed it or not. So, and according to my uncles, they needed it, you know. They were not the kind-hearted person my mother was. They were a little, I don't want to say they were hellions, but they were nasty guys, let me tell you that. But anyhow, Mother's Day is more than a sentimental holiday. It's about presenting to us the role of mothers and what effect mothers have had upon us. Now, sometimes we think, well, mothers are only for biological, those who've had children. But it's more than that. Mother Teresa, she never had children, but she's called Mother Teresa. Why? Because she mothered an entire city and took care of the poor and the dying and so on. To those of you who don't know the story of Mother Teresa, she was a nun in Calcutta, and the order of sisters that she belonged to, she was a school teacher, and she was a teacher in Calcutta of the privileged children. And as she was in the teaching in her classroom, she would look out the window, and there she would see all these, the poor and the impoverished and the sick and the dying, and she felt that that's where God had wanted her to go. And you have to understand, in that society, And whenever you think about reincarnation, I don't think of it that often, but in a society where religion is reincarnation, that every time you, if you do something bad, you are reincarnated in a lower position. And so if you are the person who is poor, down and out, living in poverty, well, God, you must have done something wrong in your previous life, and this is punishment for you. So therefore, those who are better off don't have to help them. Because if you help them in their, they won't learn the lesson that they're supposed to learn from their previous life. If you help them, you're hindering them, so they're going to come back as a lesser form in the reincarnation. So if you believe in reincarnation, you don't have to help those poor people. But Christ has given us a totally different commission, because we are serving him into taking care of people and to take care, feeding the hungry and clothing those who are without, and also visiting those who are imprisoned. But today we're looking at a mother's faith can shape generations. Now, along with my message, I came across seven different things to speak about mothers. One of them is mother's radar, a mom's purse, a late night hero, the cheerleader mom. Okay, I'll give you an idea, all right? So first one, before we look at a mother's faith that can shape a generation, well, I want to look at mom's radar. There is something uncanny about a mother's ability to know things that no one told her. Did your mom ever ask you those things? Now, guys, you don't have to answer this, okay? Don't want to incriminate anyone. Okay, she knows when you're lying. She knows when you're sad, even over the phone. We sometimes call it mom's radar, mom's intuition, but it's really just a deeply attentive love. The point is, God gives mothers an intuitive, a sacrificial kind of love that mirrors his attentiveness to us. Psalm 139:4 says, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, the Lord, you know it altogether." So, does your mom have a mom's radar? Mine did. So anyhow, a mom's faith can be shaped a generation. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "I often think of that genuine faith of yours," speaking, Paul saying this to Timothy, "a faith that first appeared in your grandmother Lois, and then in Eunice, your mother, and is now, I am convinced, in you as well. Because you have this faith, I now remind you to stir up that inner fire which God gave you at your ordination. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." So when Paul is writing to Timothy, he has described a beautiful transition of faith that went from grandmother to mother to him. And so we find that it's important for us to live out our faith. That, yes, there are difficulties, and yes, there are problems that arise, and we can be upset or, proud or whatever that goes on in our life towards our children, but it is always that we are to continue to live that example of Christ no matter what the situation. So it's a generational thing. It's a generational thing. I used to, when it was Memorial Day, we would go to the cemetery up in Frostburg near Punxsie. And my dad went to this cemetery in a buckboard. And so it was a tradition that our family did. And some of our family was buried in one cemetery, and down the road was another cemetery. And we went there on occasion. And my mom didn't like to go there because the lady who was buried there had I think she had 6 or 8 kids, and she was never married. And so that's not good for the McGee name. And so that's where I always get the idea that there is, for the women in our family, there is a real stubborn streak. And I said, that's the lady. this down through our family. My brothers all have one. A girl with a stubborn streak. Not saying my daughter is that way, but she is. And but anyhow, my mom didn't want to go there. You know, I like to go there because this is back in the 1890s, you know, 1895, in that era. And that was not something that was, you know, looked upon with any type of grace, you know. But I told my mother, I says, look what happens when God came into our family. Because after that, after this lady, then we find that there are a number of individuals who gave their life to Christ, and the whole dynamic of the family shifted. Now, I don't know what her situation was or things like that, but we find that our life is changed when Christ is in our life. And, you know, if you go back through our family history, where does Christ enter into the picture? And when Christ enters into the picture, the direction of the family changes. And so it's our faith that gives to our family a different direction, that gives us hope and gives us a direction of following Christ, and eternity with him is our home. So Timothy is a young pastor, a leader in the early church, but he didn't grow up in a perfect home. His father was a Gentile, and it's not said that he ever was converted. So he would have been in a family that was, you know, the women in the family were believers, and the man in the house was not. And this, the important thing to note here, I was thinking about it in a sense that this is written, Paul wrote this in about 62 AD. And so this is like within 30, 35 years of the ascension of Christ. So perhaps Timothy's grandmother was one who saw the resurrected Jesus and how that she became a believer. So we don't know all of the situations. It's not stated there, but she came a believer, and her daughter, and now her son, who is a leader in the church, all because of seeing the resurrected Christ. And in our life, we need to have that relationship with Christ that affects us to the point that we are a changed individual. So the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother was so notable that it changed Timothy's life. And Paul says, I think of the genuine faith of yours, a faith that was seen in your grandmother and your mother and now in you. His mother and grandmother were women of sincere faith. It shows us that you don't have to be famous to be faithful. You may not see the results of your faith today, but by your prayers and your example, you're planting the seeds for tomorrow. My brother, Gary, he died at the age of 42 with colon cancer. And not only did the rebellious streak get in women, there was a few men in our family who were very stubborn, and I didn't get that. So, don't ask my wife. But anyhow, my brother Gary, was a bright guy, but he was extremely stubborn. He went to IUP, he went 4 years to college, and he needed one class to graduate, one class, and it was a language. And so he goes into the administration, whatever, and he says, this class is not needed for my diploma, my degree. And he says, well, it doesn't matter, you have to take it. He says, no, I'm not. And he walked out. He never graduated. And when it came, if you said it was gray, he said it was black. If you said it was white, he said it was gray. You know, you could never get him to agree on anything. He was always the opposite. Well, after he had cancer, and he almost died, there was a mix-up, the surgeon and everything was a pure disaster. But after that, he was on chemo continuously, 24 hours a day, 30 days a month. And he was a changed person. And he was the person my mother would have always prayed for him to be. Because, you know, and so my mother's prayers and grandmother's prayers and family, my dad too, prayers for my brother, they never gave up on him. My mother especially never gave up on him. She was always trying to defend him or trying to help him, put it that way. So you see, the purpose of that is never judge where you are at in your prayer life or praying for someone by the results that you see at the moment. You keep praying for the direction that you are going, praying for that to happen. So a mother's faith can outlast her. A mother's faith can echo through each generation. So each of us is a person of influence. The lunch note mother. Some moms tuck notes into lunch boxes. Little reminders like I love you or good luck on your test. These notes become treasured memories and small gestures with lasting impact. We would call them text today. Texting your kids. And they would say, don't text me, I'm at school. You know, just saying that. Point is that the mother, the words of a mother, gentle, loving, uplifting, have a lifelong power. They are not forgotten. Proverbs says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. So this influence of intentional is intentional. The influence that we have is intentional. Where it is going, the direction that it has, it's not that people are perfect. Moms, individuals, you're not perfect, you don't have to be perfect. Don't even think, you know, if someone says to you, you're not perfect, you say amen, because no one is. So don't get on a guilt trip. So our influence is intentional, and when we are purpose-driven to pass on a living faith to those who are among us and those coming after us. Our faith is greater than the moment that we live in. So remember, our success is built on the shoulders. We are always standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And we have another reading here, the Quiet Prayer Warrior. Some of us only stand today because of a mother or grandmother prayed for us in our seasons of difficulty, even when we didn't even know they were difficult. So the point is, there is no such thing as a small prayer when it comes from a mother's heart. Heaven listens when a mother prays. The second part of there's three parts to the message and seven parts to the extras, okay? So you want to keep them straight. There's a test whenever we finish. Three parts and seven. Okay, the second part of the three, a mother's character speaks louder than words. Character, that which sets a person apart. In our society, I wonder how the new cultural movement would define a mother. They don't call them male and female, it's they and them. And she is a, I can't remember what it was. It was really like a woman is a childbearing person. You know, she's not a woman, she's a childbearing person or something. But anyhow, we don't do that. So I suppose those who are chasing over the pronouns they and them would have some type of fight over recognition, and I doubt that they're in church today. Because they don't celebrate they or them, that would be sexist. But anyhow, that's not who we are. But what we are pointing out is that God has a special place in life for each of us, and we are called to follow him. Proverbs gives us many many illustrations of the perfect person, the mother, the wife, the entrepreneur, the business owner, the leader in the community. This is one of those. If we read through Proverbs 31, we would all like, oh boy, what is he talking about? So first of all, we find the way she works with her hands. So again, remember, there's 100 things on the list, and all these, you don't have to check off the box in every one of these, all right? Just understand. The way she works with her hands is in Proverbs 31:20. This woman reaches out with her hands to work, help the poor, provide for her family. The way she creates a home, this woman sacrificially builds a home. I don't think that's like, you know, what with the hammer and nail. She builds her home, often unseen by the outside world, but visible to God? How many things do we do that no one knows about? No one in the family is aware of, but they're always done behind the scene. Know that God is watching. The way she considers herself, the woman never forgets to treat herself with care. Now, I don't think there's too many in here who would say, that's me, I treat myself with care. Yeah, so that's one of those to add to the list. Treat yourself with care. The way she invests in her marriage, if she is married, this woman is a key to her husband's position and success in the community. The way she speaks, the woman speaks with wisdom and love. The way she exercises her faith, the woman knows and fears God and references to God. So we find that the writer to the Proverbs, Solomon, he has some important outlines, important suggestions that he brings out for women. Proverbs 31 is not a checklist, it's a celebration. There we go. It's a celebration of godly women whose lives they live wisely, works diligently, and trust the Lord. Notice her strength is not in her schedule. It's not in her appearance. It's in her character. She has a reverence for the Lord, and because of that, she is anchored. Her value is not what she does, but who she is in God. So what do these examples give us that come through the writings of Solomon? True beauty and influence come from reverence for God. When a woman lives with dignity and wisdom, she creates a home of peace, blessings, and honor. The challenge set before each of us, not just the ladies, but for each of us, is to recognize and affirm the quiet strength of the women in our lives. The mom purse. Open my mother's purse and you will likely find tissue, snacks, band-aids, keys, mints, pens, maybe the kitchen sink. Maybe a stray toy. It's a mobile survival kit for everyone around her. That one hit home. Moms are always thinking ahead, not just for themselves, but for others. That kind of preparedness and care is a picture of love in action. Okay, ladies, if we dumped out all of your purses in one pile, what would we find? Snacks, toys, band-aids. Well, one time when Rhonda would do the D.C. trips, with her fourth grade, she would go to D.C. for the bus trips. And she, you know, anybody needed anything, they'd always go to her. You know, do you have a band-aid? And the one time she saved the guy's life because he had some type of bite and he was allergic to it, was having an allergic reaction. And halfway home, they asked, did anybody have any Benadryl? She had Benadryl, and she gave him what she had, and he took it all. And when he got here, he was swollen and whatever. And when the ambulance came, they said he'd have died if he hadn't had the Benadryl. So her snack pack, her medicine cabinet was in her purse. So I think there's a number of you ladies that's your mom's purse is what is full. So the third of our three-part series, a mother's praise reflects her heart. And this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Then Mary said, my heart is overflowing with praise of my Lord. This is Mary's prayer after, you know, whenever she is meeting with Elizabeth. And my heart is overflowed with praise of my Lord. My soul is full of joy in God my Savior, for he has D-E-I-G-N-E-D. I had to look that one up. And God has looked beneath his dignity to notice me. That's what that word infers for Mary. For God has noticed me, his humble servant, and after this, all the people who ever shall be will call me the happiest of women. The one who can do all things has done great things for me. Oh, holy is his name. Truly, his mercy rests on those who fear him. In every generation, he has shown the strength of his arm. He has swept away the high and mighty. He has set kings down from their thrones and lifted up the humble. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. Yes, he has helped Israel, his child. He has remembered the mercy that he promised to our forefathers, to Abraham and his sons forevermore. So you hear the voice of a mother, and it is Mary, the mother of Jesus. When she learns that she is carrying the Messiah, the mother of our Lord in her womb, she responds with praise. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, we often just look at that, but here we have a young woman who is betrothed, not married, and she's with child. And what that means is she could be stoned. She will be shunned. She will be basically forced from her community. And that for the rest of her life, she will be looked down upon because she is not married and she is having a child. But Mary looks at, she understands what's going on in her womb. And all of these other things, all of this scandal and what people will say, what they will do, they're all beneath her. That she doesn't look at those things. She rejoices in God my Savior. I will delight in God. And when we look at our life and we look at, what are we delighting in? We are delighting in God for who he is, what he has done in us, what he will do in our family and in our children. So there is a delight, there's a happiness. Well, what about this and what about, no. We delight in God, our Savior. So Mary's heart was overflowing with worship. And so she teaches us that a godly mother praises God, not just in the good things, but understands that even in the difficult things, the way of survival is by praising God. So it shows us a heart that is rooted in God can praise even in the unknown, that the posture of a mother's heart shades the faith of her children. The late night hero. Think about the times moms have stayed up through the night, rocking a sick baby, waiting for a teen to come home, then you kill them, and finish the, you stayed up, you know, just ready, never mind. You don't kill your kids for coming in late, almost. By waiting for a teen to come home or finish the laundry so that the next day can go smoothly. The point is, while the world sleeps, mothers serve. That quiet faithfulness echoes God's watchfulness over us. He who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. So we find that the question is Mary's song. My soul magnifies the Lord. The challenge is, what songs do we sing over our life? You know? I'm sure you don't sing the rock song, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good. No. You sing about the love of God, you allow the blessing of God to speak into your heart and life, and you think about the good things of God, how that God loves us and cares for us. God will make a way for us, and all those types of things. So the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. The joy of God. It isn't that we don't notice these things are going on. Mary knew what was going to go on, but she knew also that God had given her a great blessing. God had given to her the privilege of being the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let joy flow over the lives that are yours. The cheerleader. Let the joy. No matter how big the game or small the recital, mom is in the stands or on the front row, clapping louder than anyone else, proud no matter the outcome. I played sports in high school, and my mom and dad only ever came to one game, and that was the senior day. And my mom, my dad said his leg was almost broke from her beating on the leg and squeezing on it. And she says, "Why are you always at the bottom?" When I was playing football. She said, "Why are you always at the bottom and running into these people?" So that was the only game, but she talked about that forever. But the mothers reflect. The point is, mothers reflect the encouragement of God who rejoices over us with singing. Mothers rejoice over us with singing. Zephaniah says, "And never give up. God never gives up on us, even when we mess up." Our biggest cheerleader is often our mother. So today I want us to honor women who have shaped our lives. We honor the mother who prays in silence, the grandmother who models patience and wisdom, the spiritual mother who mentors and guides, the single mom who gives her all, the grieving mother who longs to see their child, the waiting mother waiting to have her first, the adoptive heart that reaches out to those who have no parent. Sometimes in our lives we do not feel seen. Sometimes we feel like the invisible person. But it's important to know God sees you. He sees you. And He is using you to shape the lives and souls of others. And so we do not lose hope. We do not lose focus. Even in our own family, even in our own community, even in our nation, it is our responsibility to allow God's grace and mercy to flow through us to shape the lives of others. To mothers, your faith, character, and praise matter more than you will ever know. Keep going. Keep doing the right thing for the right reasons. You're building for eternity, not for the moment. To everyone else, we honor the women in our life. Let them know that they are valued, not just today, but every day. A mother's hand. Many people remember the feel of their mother's hand guiding them across the street, comforting them when they are sick, holding their hands in prayer. A mother's hand do thousands of unnoticed acts of love each day. The point is, they build homes, they hold hearts, and reflect the hands of God holding our life. Shall we pray? I am thankful for the mother of my children, who often confuses them with being hers. I am thankful for the gift of my mother and my grandmother. I am thankful for the gift of mothers and the women of faith who have shaped the church, who have shaped lives. May they be strengthened, encouraged, and honored today. Help us to live lives that reflect the legacy that individuals have poured into us. Help us to sense the Spirit of God that molds our life in a way that is reflected in a mother's care for her children. So, Lord, we are grateful. We ask your blessing on our ladies, your ladies. We ask your blessing upon them and the work, the love that they do and share each day. Lord, we know that there are many, many qualities, but Lord, each of us individually have our own personal trait that makes us unique to the family of God and to our families. We ask your blessing upon them, your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. And every mother said, Amen.